Chapter 3. Scavenger Vessel Wealth of Kings, the Solar Void. They all looked at Focron as Sork finished speaking. The Headhunter Prime held his gaze steady on the scavenger captain. Ms. Madra felt the silence run through the chamber and begin to settle. Each of the Space Marines was still. Even Focron's continual flow of movement had paused.
"It is certain that it is him?" asked Focron.
"The signal coding and key phrases are correct. It's him."
Focron nodded, not blinking.
"How easily could what this merchant knows be used against us?" asked Silonius. The hulking warrior stood against one of the walls, armoured but face bared.
"We are only at one stage removed from the smuggler clans. If our opponents find them, then they get Sork's associates in the Venusian collectives. Then they get the name of this ship. Then they cut away until they find where it has been. And from there..."
Focron left the word hanging.
"A low probability of events unfolding like that," said Orne softly.
He sat closest to Miss Madra, and she could see the slight raising of an eyebrow that turned the statement into a question. He was running his bare palms over each other.
"Yes," said Focron, "but we are moving in a volatile section of the operation. Small chances could now have a disproportionate effect on the outcome, if we are not careful."
Orne shrugged and looked at his hands, continuing to run them slowly over each other, palm to palm. Miss Madra found her eyes pulled to the movement. In someone as precisely still as Orne, it was like a scream. Not for the first time she wondered at the minds of these warriors. They had just learned that Sork's contacts in the Venusian smugglers had received a signal. The signal was from a man called Hyrakro, a dowager son of the Hyson cartel and one of the assets the Legion had used in the opening stages of its current operation. The man was supposed to have died, along with two other assets whose continued existence held more risk than opportunity. The warrior they had left on Terra, the one who had taken the honorific Altharius, was supposed to have eliminated Hyrakro. The news from Sork's contacts meant that mission had failed. The fact that it also must mean that the enemy were on their trail and their Legion brother was most likely dead had not even been remarked on. All that mattered now was how they responded. Did they eliminate Hyrakro themselves or get a proxy to do it for them? Their discomfort at that choice was what shouted from Orne's fidgeting, Focron's stillness and Hecaron's silence. They did not like having to respond to circumstance. They created circumstance and marshalled confusion. For all of their obsession with the fluidity of war, they were used to control.
"He dies," said Focron at last. "That is my decision. No loose ends. Not at this stage."
He looked at Sork. The scavenger captain gave a small flinch, but then controlled himself.
"Get your contacts to confirm the rendezvous and then make best speed for it. We are going to do this with our own hands."
Sork nodded and turned to go. The man looked shaken, but he was good at hiding it. Focron looked around the assembled team.
"The ship will hold at a distance. An execution element will go to the rendezvous in a lighter, confirm the kill and withdraw. We exchange signals every 5 minutes. Two missed, and the ship runs."
Miss Madra nodded.
"The execution element?" she asked.
"I will go myself. And you,"
Focron said, nodding at Miss Madra.
"He will be expecting smugglers, so you will be our human face. We must confirm identity before termination."
I should go too,"
said a thin voice, and they all looked around. Incarnus met their stares and shrugged.
"The smugglers would never come alone, and if you want to be certain that this Hyrakro has not already been compromised, you need me to have a peek in his brain before you turn it to mist."
The Psyker bit his upper lip as silence answered his words, but he did not drop his eyes. Focron nodded at last.
"You are right. You come."
"You need a backup," said Silonius,
and Focron looked around.
"If this is not what it seems, or if there is a problem, you will need cover."
Focron looked at Silonius and nodded again.
"Agreed," said Focron.
Silonius looked up, and his eyes met Miss Madra's. She felt a cold surge in her skin. There was something about Silonius that she could not identify, something that she had noticed more in the time since the strike on the signal station. It was as though there was something else watching her from inside the warrior's eyes. Artifact 9, Kappa Mu, the Solar Void. The Void artifact had turned around the sun since before the earliest charts of the solar system existed. The Red Priests of Mars had given it what passed for its name. They had labelled it Artifact 9 Kappa Mu. But while the dry collection of symbols and letters implied something easily classified and indexed, the truth was that neither the Tech Priests nor any of the other organisations that had endured from the Dark Age of technology knew what it was. A geodesic sphere of black metal, 30 kilometres in diameter, the artifact looked to the eye like a dark moon in search of a parent planet. Beneath its outer layer, passages threaded between a honeycomb of vast spaces open to the void. Huge ragged holes sat open on its surface, and a pall of debris hung around it like a cloak. The debris, just like the artifact, had always been there, resisting the natural forces that should have pulled it into the great drifts long ago. The greatest mystery, though, was that it was invisible to anything but touch or natural sight. Auspexes looked straight through it, and its substance defied both technology and scholarship. There had been expeditions, analysis, sifting of the records compiled by the scholars of the conservatory, but all attempts to discover its origin or purpose had failed. There had been attempts to destroy it, to clear it from the reaches between Terra and Venus. Those attempts, like the attempts to understand its nature, had failed. Melter, seismic, and graviton charges had not scratched its main structure. So it remained, bearing its prosaic title and surrounded by satellites which broadcast warnings to any vessels that came close. Of all the corners of the solar system, there were few darker. Silonius reflected upon this as he hugged the shadow at the edge of the chamber. The location for the rendezvous was in a part of the tunnel network that had been the base for one of the Mechanicum's attempts to discover the artifact's secrets. The structure defied all attempts to bond anything to it, so the tech priests had threaded plasteel passages and chambers through the black metal tunnels. Smugglers had used it and abandoned it since, but there was still air inside the tunnels. There was no gravity, so they had advanced to the chamber with the thump, thump of boots maglocking to the floor. They were not going deep into the artifact, but even the scant few hundred metres felt like they were walking past an invisible barrier into the unknown. Silonius blinks cycled from infrasight to dark vision as he moved. The corridors shifted between total black, hazed green, and the stark colours of hot and cold. Miss Madra and Incarnus were ahead of him, grey shapes brought alive by the orange of their body heat.
"Nothing on the Auspex," said Fokron across the vox.
The Headhunter Prime was 20 paces behind them.
"Though this place..."
"I do not like it," said Silonius, echoing Fokron's unvoiced thought. "A better site for a counter-ambush you could not find. There could be anything out there, and we would not see it until it was on top of us."
Tactical runes fizzed with static in his helmet display as he spoke. The substance of the artifact made them doubly blind.
"Indeed. But that applies to our quarry as much as to us," said Fokron.
Ahead of them, Miss Madra went still and folded into the side of the corridor. Incarnus followed her a second later. Silonius saw the human's movement and halted, pivoting and dropping to one knee to cover the passage behind them.
"This looks like the place," whispered Miss Madra. "No sign of anything."
"Move into position and wait," said Fokron.
"Going firm," said Silonius, shifting his position to behind a block of cold machinery, locked to one side of the passage.
He flicked a glance over his shoulder to make sure that his sight lines extended cleanly in both directions. He could see Miss Madra and Incarnus crouched next to an opening into a larger chamber beyond. Both were orange-yellow blurs in cold blue. Fokron had vanished, the heat from his armor a smudge in the air. Silonius steadied his heartbeats, cycling them down to a low pulse of utter calm. He did not like this. He did not like the fact that they had been drawn here. He understood Fokron's reasoning and could not fault its logic, but he blinked. The passage in front of him fizzed in its shades of blue and black. A sharp tingle ran up his arms. His fingers suddenly felt like they were locked in ice. He fought not to let out a gasp. Something vast and cold was rising from within him, clawing up the base of his spine until he was moving through the Sigma. The warrior who had come to escort him walking in front of him. They passed through the ship, winding through corridors he had not trodden in years, descending bit by bit into the deep regions, where the air tasted of stagnant water and electric charge. There were few lights here. Those who tended the machine heart of the ship needed no light to see. Red furnace lights glowed from around corners, and the hammer pulse of reactors trembled through the floor and walls. The route they followed was winding, but not cryptic. He wondered about that, even as he memorized each detail. He had a feeling that they were going to somewhere he had never been before, somewhere hidden on the ship he knew so well. That did not surprise him. It was the Legion's way. What made him wonder was that there was no attempt to conceal the route. That openness held possibilities. He almost missed the moment when they reached their destination. His escort simply opened a hatchway, as he had done 21 times already, and they both stepped through. But no corridor waited on the other side. Vastness struck and enfolded him as the hatch clanged shut behind. The sound of magnetic bolts thudding into place rolled through the dark. He turned fast, but his escort was already facing him, bolter raised and steady.
"What is this?" said Silonius.
"An audience," said the warrior.
Silonius held still. At his back he could feel the space booming against his senses. The air was cool. The smell of dust and weapon oil hung on the edge of every breath. His escort stared at him, the glow of his eyepieces a slash of green in the dark. The hum of active armor pulsed against the sound of his own hearts. Nothing else moved in the chamber.
"Who called me here?" Silonius growled. "Who are you?"
"I am Alpharius," said the warrior.
Miss Madra glanced at Incarnus and moved forwards into the chamber. The blackness rolled back in front of her dark vision goggles. She could see the nearest wall and the floor sketched in granular blue. Incarnus edged forward slowly, head twitching as he glanced around. Like her, he was wearing a patched void suit. He had a shot pistol strapped to his thigh, but he kept his hands empty. His gloved fingers opened and closed as he moved, like the feelers of an anemone waving in ocean water. She hefted the Volkite charger she had brought as she glanced around again. The weapon was big, heavy, and could reduce a body to ash in a single shot. She liked it a lot. She didn't like this mission, though, and she liked the inside of the artifact even less. She could not shake the feeling that she was inside a cage. She wanted to be in cover, to be out of sight, but her job was to be obvious. Somewhere off in the dark, Fokron and Silonius would be waiting. Where, she did not know. Like so much about the Legion, there was strength in ignorance, even in the smallest things. If there was a problem, then she could not accidentally betray their positions. The element of surprise, supreme in war, would be maintained. She had learned that lesson before she had been recruited. She had always wondered if it was that quality which the Alpha Legion had seen in her. She hoped so. It was a better quality than a willingness to work against the system that had created her.
"Someone is coming,"
Incarnus whispered over the vox. She felt her muscles tense and forced them to relax.
"How many?"
she asked.
"Just one. At least, I think so."
"You don't know so?"
"This place, it..."
"Quiet," she hissed, because off in the dark a dot of light had appeared. She flicked the arming switch on her charger. The gun began to buzz with readiness. The dot of light was bobbing in the dark, growing larger.
"Shine the light," she said quietly. "Give them something to come to."
Incarnus pulled a flare from a pouch on his suit. It lit with a burst of pink light. He tossed it onto the floor in front of them. Miss Madra's goggles blanked as they flooded with light and then gave the world back to her. The chamber was bigger now, stretching up to a flat high ceiling. Gantries and hoists sat in the centre of the space, like a forest of metal struts, hung with creepers of chain. A short, fat figure was walking towards them. It had a glow globe clutched in one hand and was moving with the staggering steps of someone not used to exertion.
"Is it him?" she asked.
"Can't tell."
"Why?"
"He's thinking about the light and how much he wants to sit down and..."
"Yes?"
"Water,"
said Incarnus, puzzlement edging in his voice.
"He isn't thirsty, but for some reason he's thinking about water."
"Try harder."
"I am. But without letting him know what I am doing, that's not as easy as you might think."
She went silent and waited, focusing on keeping her heartbeat level. The figure stopped 20 paces from them.
"Hi,"
said a male voice, that even through a speaker was vibrating with nerves.
"I am a wanderer in a lost kingdom."
She paused, her finger on the trigger of her gun. The code phrase was the one given in the signal setting up the rendezvous. But that did not mean that this was Hierakro. If she shot now and he was watching from further back, she needed to be sure. She glanced at Incarnus, but for some reason the Psyker had moved closer to the figure.
"Did you come on a lighter?"
asked Incarnus suddenly. The fat figure with the glow globe flinched.
I am a wanderer in a lost kingdom."
"I heard you,"
snapped Incarnus.
"But how did you get here? Where is your shuttle?"
"I..."
"Incarnus, what are you doing?"
she said into the vox.
"Have you confirmed the target's identity?"
Fokron's voice broke into the vox.
"Where is your shuttle?"
The man was backing away from Incarnus. The globe was shaking in his grip. He glanced behind him. Cold snapped through Ms. Madra's nerves. In her mind, the man turned to look back into the dark behind him in exquisite and terrifying slowness. Her finger tensed on the trigger of her charger.
"Have you confirmed the identity?"
Ms. Madra spoke the answer to the code phrase, the words echoing loud in the dark emptiness.
"I am a guardian of a forgotten city. You stand at the gates, traveler."
The man with the glow globe froze in place. She could see his eyes wide and dark behind his void suit visor. His mouth began to open to reply.
"No!"
shouted Incarnus, and suddenly the Psyker was leaping forwards. Ms. Madra began to bring her gun up, but the Psyker was fast, faster than she had ever seen him move before, and suddenly her muscles were lead, and there was frost exploding across her visor as she felt Incarnus's will clamping over her own.
"They are going to kill you!"
Incarnus was shouting.
"Get us to your shuttle! Run! Now!"
Then blinding light stole the world from her eyes.
"I am Alpharius," said the warrior in the dream.
Silonius laughed, the sound booming in the dark of the chamber. The warrior in front of him lowered his weapon and reached up to release his helm. The light in the eyepiece vanished. The helmet came free. Silonius met the eyes beneath and knelt, head bowed.
"Lord," said Silonius,
and now it was Alpharius's laughter that echoed in the empty air.
"Rise," said the Primarch. "My method of summoning you rather undermines the need for formality, do you not think?"
Silonius rose and met Alpharius's eyes, dark in a still face. The spark of doubt filled his mind. There were many within the Legion who bore the deliberate likeness of the Primarch, some of them so exact in their appearance that only prolonged observation might reveal the deception. Silonius himself was one such individual, but there were hundreds of others. Then there was the fact that Alpharius was only one face of a coin with two sides, though few outsiders knew it. Lord Omegon was not just the same in looks as his twin, but identical in his superhuman nature. Added to this was the fact that both Primarchs and their legionnaires often bore the name Alpharius as a form of grim jest, combined with a method of sowing confusion. True, he had felt a twinge of command the moment he looked on his summoner's face. But did that mean this was truly his Primarch? He forced the doubts down.
How may I serve? Silonius asked Alpharius.
Around him the vast darkness of the chamber trembled as some distant machine woke and sent a shudder through the Sigmar's hull. The beat of his heart seemed to rise to the distant sound, as the doubt needled in his mind, persistent and shrill. Is this a lie? Alpharius was silent for a second, then stepped past Silonius into the space beyond. Shafts of light appeared in the dark, marching away into the far reaches of the chamber. Silonius saw objects sitting on plinths in each pool of light. A set of four rings sat on top of an obsidian pillar at the center of the nearest shaft. Branching marks ran between green gems circling each ring. In another sat a pauldron. The rearing hydra of the legion worked in bronze on a field of enameled blue scales. Further off, he could see more fragments of armor and weapons, each glimmering and brilliant.
You doubt it is truly me, when before you were so certain, Alpharius said and smiled.
But his eyes were still and unblinking.
An understandable reaction.
Do you know what this is?
He gestured at the object in one of the pillars of light. It was a spear, as tall as a mortal man, both ends capped with blades whose edges glinted sharply. Serpentine bodies wound across the black of the shaft in golden inlay. Silonius knew what it was, and if he had any doubts as to the truth of Alpharius's presence, they should have vanished at that moment. But the doubts lingered.
It is the Saracenata, the pale spear, he said. A symbol of our mastery of war. The Hydra's tooth, the weapon of our true heart.
He looked at Alpharius.
Your weapon.
The Primarch reached into the shaft of light and plucked the spear from its stand. He spun it as he stepped back, the gesture so smooth and fast that it made no sound. He held the spear up with one hand. The tip of one of the blades was a finger's width from Silonius's face. The Primarch looked at Silonius from the other end of the spear. Neither moved. Then the spear spun back. Alpharius held it up again, this time with both hands gripping the haft. He twisted, and a series of clicks sounded, like the murmur of a dozen tiny locks all turning at once. He twisted again, hands a brief blur. The clicks rippled on, and then there was a single loud crack. The blades, unlocked from the shafts, broke into shards, each a razor sliver that gave no hint of the hole it had once been part of. The spear shaft split, once, twice, three times. Alpharius placed each piece on the empty stand as it came free. The whole process had taken only 3 seconds.
And now? Asked Alpharius. What is it now? It is still the spear, replied Silonius without hesitation.
Alpharius gave a small nod, and then picked up one of the blade shards and handed it to Silonius.
And now? It is still the spear. No matter how many times it is broken, it is still the spear.
Alpharius nodded. It was an old lesson, explained in many ways, and put into practice in many more.
A whole of many parts, a weapon of many parts, but which can come together. The many that are one.
For a moment, Silonius thought the Primarch was going to emphasize the point by rebuilding the spear, but he picked up another splinter of the blade. Alpharius lifted the sliver in his right hand and flexed his left. The gauntlet peeled back from the flesh beneath with a series of soft clicks. Silonius watched in silence, wondering what was happening. Alpharius looked at the bare flesh, then sliced the shard across the tip of one finger. A bead of blood formed in the instant before the wound closed. Alpharius scraped the blood from his fingertip with the blade shard and held it out to Silonius, a red pearl balanced on gold.
We wear lies as our armor, but the greater the deception, the more we must trust one another.
Silonius looked at the tiny sphere of blood and understood. He reached out and took the shard. It felt like a feather in his hand. He brought it to his lips. Alpharius's eyes were steady on his. He touched the blood drop to his tongue and swallowed. He gasped, reeling, fighting to breathe. Partial memories exploded in his mind. The image of a long stone hall and three figures turning to look at him. A man shouting one word at him the second before a bolt ripped him apart. And then the glowing explosion that might have been pain or birth or revelation. And on in a rush of glimpses and sensations. The moment passed, and Silonius found himself on his hands and knees. The deck of the ship twisted one last time beneath him, and then was still. He looked up, breathing hard.
I do not think that separating truth from seeming was what my father intended when he implanted his legions with the ability to glimpse the minds of others by tasting their blood. Alpharius smiled, and this time his eyes glittered with cold amusement. But it is a useful side effect.
Lord, began Silonius, but Alpharius cut him off by reaching down and pulling him to his feet.
It has been a while, Harrow Master, said the Primarch. Your suspicion does you more credit than credulity would have.
Silonius felt pride and caution surge and retreat in his hearts.
Why am I here, Lord? Why did you summon me?
And the answer fell away into the present with a roar of gunfire. Stark white light was pouring down the passage from the direction of the rendezvous chamber. Silonius's mind was rolling with scraps of sight and sound.
I am Alpharius. How may I serve?
Silonius ran down the passage, and the ghosts of the past followed him. Miss Madra felt Incarnus's hold on her will break, and she dived to her right. A burst of bolter fire ripped through where she had been standing. She rolled and came up. Frost still covered her visor, shining white in brilliant light. She hit the helmet release and yanked it free. Beams of light sliced across the chamber. She could see figures pouring out of doors at the other end. Figures in power armor, yellow armor, laurels and black, lightning haloing the emblem of clenched fists. The sons of Rogal Dorn had found them. Incarnus was 15 paces away, clutching Hyrakro and shouting something that she could not hear. She brought her charger up and fired. The beam flashed wide. One of the Imperial fists turned to look at her, bolt gun rising at the same moment. Her augmented reflexes snapped her aside as the bolt exploded where she had been. She dived for a coil of chains at the base of a gantry as the burst of fire followed her. She came up behind the cover and snapped a shot off.
Fulcrum!
She shouted into the vox.
Silonius!
Static washed back at her as a bolt round hit the heap of chains. Broken links showered into the air. She ducked low as another round hit, and then another. An Imperial Fist's legionary moved into sight on her left. She fired. The beam hit the Space Marine's chest. Ceramite flashed to red. She feathered the trigger, raking the beam across his torso. Blackened chunks of armor exploded from the impact.
Fulcrum!
She shouted. But there was no answer, and part of her already knew there would be none. She had served the Legion for 15 years, all the way back to the 670th Expeditionary Fleet. There had been disasters in those years, huge and echoing disasters that she had come through with death breathing down her back. But she had survived, and never doubted that she would. Now she was certain that it would end here, not in a grand failure, but in a simple ambush that they had walked straight into. Another legionary came into her line of sight, gun up and aimed at her. She did not see where Fulcrum came from. One second the Imperial Fist was there, and the next there was just an expanding sphere of plasma. She gasped, clamping her eyes shut as neon bruises swam across her vision. She forced them open in time to see Fulcrum sprint from an opening in the chamber wall. He threw another grenade as he moved, and another ball of plasma bloomed into being. She could see the shapes of Imperial Fists crumpling within the burning sphere.
"Do you have the target in sight?" said Fulcrum's voice over the vox.
He was firing as he moved, raking bolt shells across the opponent's side of the chamber, moving without pause, a blur of armour and gunfire. Miss Madra glanced around her cover, found that she was clear for another 5 paces, and sprinted to the base of another gantry. She could see Incarnus still struggling with Hyrakro. She raised her weapon sight, finger poised on the trigger.
I have him, but Incarnus is in the shot.
Take them, said Fulcrum. Both of them.
She fired without hesitation. The Volkite beam hit true. Hyrakro, Dowager Son of the Hyson Cartel came apart in an explosion of embers and sparks. Incarnus dived aside as she pulled the trigger again. The beam caught his left hand, and he hit the floor, shrieking as his arm burned into ash. She switched aim, and a huge figure in golden-yellow armor stepped across her sight. She had an instant to note the black cloak and the bronzed bionics of his right arm and leg before the warrior leveled his bolter at her. Silonius did not see the ambush force until it was nearly too late. His senses were ringing with voices from raw memories, eyes blurring with the after-image of Alpharius standing in front of him in the past. The first Imperial fist came from a corridor to his right, hacking down with a sword that glowed with lightning as it cut. It was a good cut, backhanded, fluid and fast. It was meant to hit Silonius on the right of his neck and slice down across his chest. The blow never landed. Silonius caught the Imperial fist's wrist and turned it with a snap of bone and ceramite. He crushed the fingers into the sword grip, turned the still active blade inwards, and sliced it across the warrior's neck. Silonius had the sword in his hand as the dead legionary struck the floor. The passage was narrow, a battleground pressed between two walls. Another Imperial fist was directly in front of him. The firing pin inside the warrior's bolter kissed the back of a bolt casing. Silonius cut the bolter in two as the shell ran down the barrel. It exploded. The Imperial fist staggered, blood streaming from torn armor. Silonius stepped in and cannoned his foot into the warrior's chest. The legionary flew backwards, chest cracked, shards of bone and armor crumpling into his hearts. Silonius had the grenade free and flying through the air as the dying warrior struck his squad brothers in the passage behind. The grenade detonated. Shrapnel and fire ripped through the corridor. Silonius's bolter was in his hand, and he was pivoting and firing into the space behind him where more Imperial fists were already moving. A wall of three overlapping shields faced him, gun barrels jutting from firing slots. He saw the Imperial fists brace to fire an instant before the volley hammered up the passage at him. He pivoted against the wall, pulling a plasma grenade and a frag grenade from his waist as he moved. He threw the frag grenade high, looping the throw so that the grenade struck the ceiling plates, bounced down and hit the floor just in front of the shield wall. It detonated. Shrapnel rang against the wall of plasteel. The Imperial fists did not pause, but surged forwards, firing as they came. Silonius ran from them, bolter in one hand and the stolen power sword in the other. He felt a bolt hit his side. The shock of the explosion split his armor. The Imperial fists came on, feet ringing on the deck. None of them noticed the plasma grenade wedged into the corner of the floor. Starbright heat filled the corridor with a scream of expanding air and distorting metal. The shield wall vanished. Silonius felt the wash of heat from the blast, but had made it past the lethal radius with one pace to spare. He strode back into the wreckage. He could feel the heat of the guttering plasma through his armor. The passage walls were glowing. Rivets had popped out of joints between metal plates. The dark material of the artifact's true substance showed through in places. Air hissed through the glowing tears. A single Imperial fist tried to rise from amongst the molten sludge of his comrades. The blast had vaporized the back of his body. Scorched liquid ran from his torso. His legs did not exist beyond the knee. Yet still Silonius saw yellow fingers trying to grip the butt of a bolter. He stopped, looked down at the warrior, aimed and put a bolt shell through the green eyepiece that looked back at him. He paused for a second and then turned. The light of another battle was rippling down the corridor from the rendezvous chamber. Memories slammed into him as he began to run. Alpharius rose from the dark inside his skull. For an instant, he could see the Primarch's mouth moving, but could not hear the words. Then they came too, cutting in as though at the press of a switch. "Who am I?" "You are Alpharius." "Are we not all Alpharius?" The muzzle of the bolter loomed in Ms. Madra's sight. She felt the instant slow. Every detail of the Imperial fist aiming at her was sharp. She could see the grey smudges running through the white fur that topped his black cloak. The laurel leaves running around the crown of his helm were green enamel. The word Renimar was etched into the edge of the left pauldron. A Huskarl, she thought. One of the companions of Rogel Dorn. She felt her own muscles moving, the nerve grafts and fibre bulk firing fast, but still too slow. A cluster of bolts hit the huskarl on the shoulder as he fired. Bolts sprayed across the deck as the bolter kicked wide. Fokron strode into sight, firing as he moved. Ms. Madra squeezed the trigger of her Volkite. The beam snapped out, but the shot went wide. The huskarl was not down, not by a long way. He cannoned forwards, right hand tugging a mace free from his waist. Lightning wreathed its head as he swung. Behind him, more Imperial fists were flowing into the room, boarding shields locking together. She could not even see Incarnus anymore.
"Withdraw," said Fokron. "Get back to the ship now."
She pushed up and ran for the doorway they had entered from. The huskarl struck Fokron as she took her second stride. The blow was huge, driven by raw power and momentum. It looked simple, the kind of blow that would break whatever it touched, but which would never land. Fokron swayed back, bolter ready to fire into the huskarl's face as the blow passed. The blow did not pass. The huskarl flicked the mace over as it fell and swept it up into Fokron's midriff. It was an impossible blow, a blow designed to deceive and then kill. Fokron lifted from the floor, lightning crawling over the crater in his chest. Silonius came through the door in time to see Fokron fall. An Imperial Fists huskarl was standing above the Headhunter Prime, mace still swinging high in his hand. Blood was falling through the air and burning as it passed through the mace's power field. Stark white light bathed the chamber. Gunfire leapt at Silonius. Bolts burst on his armor. More damage, more blood inside his armor. His eyes flowed across the advancing squads of Imperial Fists, and his mind assessed the situation before he had taken a step. He saw the body of Fokron on the floor, limbs scrabbling in spreading blood. He ducked back into the mouth of a corridor. Ms. Madra was sprinting towards him, a shield wall of Imperial Fists closing on her from behind. He fired at them. The first bolt struck a warrior whose eyes were a fraction above the shield line. The bolt smashed through his left lens and turned his skull into a bloody pulp inside his helm. The warrior dropped. Ms. Madra twisted to fire back into the closing enemy.
"Keep moving!"
he shouted. His eye found cracks running down the face of one of the Imperial Fist's shields. Two shells shattered the shield, and a third took the warrior in the throat. A volley of fire lashed across the chamber. Ms. Madra dived. Explosions burst amongst the gantries and hanging chains. Ms. Madra was past him and into the passage beyond. He fired a last burst and followed. The passage was thick with smoke and flame from plasma grenade detonations. 5 strides from the door, Silonius paused and pulled a last grenade from his belt. It was heavy, and locked to the metal wall with a magnetic thump. A red light flashed on its casing as it armed. Silonius turned and ran after Ms. Madra. She was leaping over the molten remains of the dead Imperial Fists.
"Cut off unit!"
she shouted over her shoulder.
"There may be others,"
he said. Behind him, the crack grenade exploded, pulling the walls and ceiling of the passage down. The shockwave slammed into Silonius's back, but he ran on without stumbling.
"This way,"
he said, and they came to a junction.
"The lighter,"
said Ms. Madra, breathing hard.
"The sons of Dorne are not fools. The lighter will have become wreckage the second they close the trap."
"Then," she said, as they turned down a passage that led them away from where they had left the lighter.
"There is a contingency," he said.
As he spoke, he heard the buzz of activating power armor as a second Imperial Fist cut-off unit stepped from the side of the corridor and locked shields. They had been waiting. 5 of them immobile in the dark passages, armor shut down and silent. 20 paces separated them from him. Possible responses and tactics blurred through the edge of his awareness and became a simple, direct necessity. He charged. The Imperial Fists fired. Bolts slammed into him. Armor cracked and blood scattered in his wake. He did not stop. He struck the shield wall and felt the impact shudder through him. The servos in his armor screeched. Damage alarms rose in his ears. The shield wall bent backwards, and then his momentum was pushing him into the opening gap. The power sword was in his hand, lightning running down its edge as he rammed its point into the gut of a warrior and ripped it upwards. Ceramite split. Blood and bowel fluids sprayed across him as he pulled the blade free and turned, hacking down into the leg of another warrior. The legionary fell to the floor, firing into the air as his finger pulled the trigger of his bolt gun. Silonius kicked out. The warrior's head snapped back, armor servos and bone breaking. He was side by side with the enemy, armor scraping against theirs as they turned to try and engage him. He did not give them the chance. His hand snapped out, gripped the top of a shield, yanked it down, and sawed his sword across the face of the imperial fist behind. The warrior began to fall. Silonius pivoted, still holding onto the shield top, power snapping through him as he threw the dying imperial fist into his two remaining comrades. They brought their shields around, fast. The Volkite beam speared out of the dark and hit one on the shoulder. The shield dipped, and Silonius rammed the tip of his sword into the warrior's faceplate, dragging it sideways before the dead weight could pull the blade down. The blade edge burst from the side of the helm and sliced into the last Imperial Fist's pauldron. The sword's power field failed. The Imperial Fist lurched back, blade embedded in the meat and ceramite of his right shoulder. Silonius's bolter was back in his hands as he stepped close, pressed the barrel against the warrior's gut, and emptied the remainder of the clip. The Imperial Fist staggered back, a bloody crater bored in his stomach. Silonius let the warrior sag down the wall, reloaded and put a final shell into the corpse's left eye. It had been only a matter of seconds since the Imperial Fists had appeared. He looked around. Miss Madra advanced towards him, her Volkite leveled at him. He could read the hesitation in her stance. She had had time to aim and fire once in the course of the encounter. He looked at her, then turned towards the waiting dark of the passage beyond the fallen Imperial Fists. "Come," he said. "We are close." She did not move or lower her gun.
What are you?
He felt images and echoes of thoughts fizz at the edge of his mind.
"I am a warrior of the Legion," he said, looking at her.
"We must move." She lowered the gun after a long moment, and they began to run. The second lighter was waiting in a dark space on the edge of the artifact, powered down and silent. Ashul looked up as they climbed aboard. He activated controls, and the craft's frame began to purr with power.
"Are we waiting?" he asked.
"No,"
said Silonius. Ashul glanced at Ms. Madra, who nodded. The lighter broke free of the artifact and ran into open space at full burn. In the vibrating dark of the compartment, Silonius breathed out and let a cold blackness overwhelm his thoughts. From across the compartment, Ms. Madra watched him, eyes dark inside the shell of her visor.
"There's something I need to say to you," she said carefully. "I had instructions for if Fulcrum was lost."
He blinked. She reached into a pouch in her void suit and pulled out a small object wrapped in black fabric. She held it out to him.
"Hades," she said,
and the dreams uncoiled through him. Arcamus took in the wreckage choking the passage the Alpha Legion warrior and operative had vanished through. It would take at least 20 minutes to clear with melter torches and lascutters. 20 minutes was far, far too long in this situation. The ambush had closed almost perfectly. 20 of them had waited in the dark for the Alpha Legion, utterly still, their armor soundless and unmoving. They had become part of the artifact's silence. When the enemy had reached the rendezvous chamber, they had closed the circle. Everything up to that point had proceeded as it should. But now he felt that there was something at work that they had not accounted for.
"Clear it,"
he said, pointing at the blocked door. Three warriors came forwards. Two of them carried lascutters and began to slice into the debris. Arcamus turned and strode back across the chamber, his warriors falling into formation around him as he made for the entrance on the other side of the chamber.
"Their lighter was located and destroyed," said Kestros. "And the cutoff unit is in place to block them. Either way, they're trapped."
"Never a wise assumption to make with the Alpha Legion," Arcamus said,
and gave the younger warrior a hard look. He halted beside what remained of Dowager's son Hyrakro. Steaming liquid and ash was seeping from the scraps of the man's void suit. Another figure lay nearby, with a Legion apothecary knelt beside him. The man's right arm had been blown to ash below the elbow. Arcamus's bionic hand twitched instinctively at the sight of the smoking stump. The human began to convulse as Arcamus looked at him, black pupils contracting in white, irisless eyes.
I can,
gasped the figure, limbs thrashing against the floor. The apothecary keyed the controls to the narthecium on his wrist. A silver needle snapped out of its casing, and he stabbed it into the human's chest. The man's convulsions weakened. His head lolled, eyes unfocused.
Will he survive?
Asked Arcamus.
He will,
said the apothecary.
I can,
said the man, the words falling slowly from his lips.
I can help you. I know.
His eyes flickered half shut, and he let out a slow breath as the drugs took hold of him and pulled him down into quiet. Arcamus watched as the man's eyelids slid completely closed. I know.
They broke through the cutoff squad!
Kestros's voice cut into his thoughts.
Broke through? Slaughtered them all. Sotaro's dead. There must have been more than the lone warrior and human we saw. The unbreakable truth is coming in fast, but it's saying that a lighter launched into the void and is making for the sunward dust clouds.
And they had a contingency, snarled Arcamus.
Always a fair assumption to make with the Alpha Legion,
said Kestros, and Arcamus felt a rebuke rising to his lips before he bit it off.
Bring the ship in, he growled. Full speed to cut off the lighter. They're already moving, but they say it's unlikely that they'll be able to intercept the target. They're detecting engine flare from the edge of the dust cloud the lighter's making for. A ship, small but fast.
They had needed to withdraw the unbreakable truth to a distance where it would be out of range of enemy vessels bringing their quarry to the artifact. That necessity also meant that the vessel was now too far out to run down a fast ship. He had known this was a risk when he had planned the ambush, but there were always risks. He looked down at the human at his feet, now slumped in a drug-induced coma.
I know. Tell them to pursue as far as they can, he said. But tell the Lunar Witch that we have another thread for her to unravel.
Kestros saluted. Arcamus acknowledged it with a nod, and then stared at the unconscious man's pale eyelids, now closed over eyes that had fastened on Arcamus with something like hope.
We may not need to chase them down to end this hunt,
he said, as much to himself as anyone else.